So this morning, as we get started on our time in God's Word, you'll see that there's obviously two different sets or kinds of flowers that are here on stage with me. This is a healthy plant, a rose bush. New flowers are growing, it looks like, each and every day. There's some new ones that are coming in here. And over here on this side, we have the flowers that I gave Chelsea for our anniversary a little over a week ago, and they did not look like this when I gave them to her, right? They were great, they were full of color, they weren't falling over like this, but they have been slowly dying on our kitchen table for about a week and a half now. And I'm sure that if you could talk to these flowers, it'd be a little weird, but if flowers could talk and they could respond to us and to our questions, they would say that as fun as it was to leave the garden, as fun as it was to get on a truck to go to a florist, as fun as it was to join somebody else's home just for a little while, if they could have had things their way, they would have chose to remain connected to the plant over here, right? Because ever since they were picked, ever since they were removed from the plant, they slowly were dying, right? It's in the plant that they find life. It's in the plant that they find health. It's in the plant that they find these nutrients that are flowing to them each and every day to allow them to continue to grow. The flowers here will continue to bear more flowers. The branches here will continue to bear more and more branches, maybe even more plants, because they're staying connected ultimately to their source of life. And this morning, as we turn to God's Word, and if you've got your Bible, open up to John chapter 15, we're going to see that Jesus tells you and I, as people, the exact same thing. He tells us that if we want life, ultimate life, that we've got to stay connected to the source of life, and that's Jesus Himself, right? That's how you and I grow as believers. That's how you and I grow as followers of Christ. This past Sunday morning, we started a new series in here, a new study, and we saw that what happens among the church family itself is essential, and that there are several essentials also that need to be present in the life of each and every believer. And today, we're looking at essential number two, and it's spiritual growth. And that spiritual growth happens in the life of a believer only when we stay connected. So as we look in God's Word in John chapter 15, I want you to answer a question for me. Don't answer it out loud. Don't shout it out. Just answer it in your heart. Answer it in your mind and allow this question to sort of frame up how you look at these verses with us this morning. And it's an easy question. It's a yes or no, and that's this. Is spiritual growth happening in your life? Right, what was 2020 a year where you would look back and say, I grew spiritually this past year? The month of January so far, or even this past week, would you say that spiritual growth is happening in your life? Why or why not? All right, let that frame our time together. We're going to see in just a minute, and this is my prayer, that we'll see that all of spiritual growth in our life happens as we stay connected to Jesus. That's what John 15 is all about. We've got 11 verses that we're going to look at, verses 1 through 11. And 10 times in 11 verses, Jesus uses the word abide. Jesus says, abide in me, let me abide in you. There's a lot of repetition in these verses here, and we need to know and understand that when we're reading our Bible and we see the same word over and over and over again, it's time to clue in, it's time to pay attention, because God is giving us, in a very easy way to discern or understand, the theme, the main idea, the application that He wants to see come to life in our lives itself. And right here, it's clearly abide. John 15, 1 through 11. And I don't use the word abide very often. You might not use the word abide very often. And so to make sure that we're on the same page and we're processing this the right way in the same way, know that abide means to remain in, right? Abide means to stay in, or simply put, abide means to stay connected. And this morning, we're going to see that spiritual growth is all about that, staying connected. So look at John 15, verses 1 and 2. This is Jesus talking, and He says this, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Let's pause there. These first two verses, and we'll elaborate on this in our time together, make the point that you and I are designed to stay connected, right? You and I as people that live on earth are designed to stay connected. And Jesus shows us that. He teaches us that through this metaphor. And he introduces three people in the metaphor itself. First, we've got himself, Jesus, and he calls himself the true vine. And that's important because in the Old Testament, over and over again, remember, Jesus, back in that first century, he's talking to a Jewish audience. And he's reminding them that, hey, the nation of Israel, you as a people, have been called the vine over and over again throughout the Old Testament. The problem is, oftentimes it was referred to in failure, right? Where the vine was not producing the fruit that it should, or the vine had become unproductive or wild or disobedient or untamed. Jesus says that that's not the case with me. Jesus says where man has failed, where people have failed, I'm here now and I won't. I am the true vine. Jesus is telling them, and he's telling me, and he's telling you, no longer should your hope be in your family. No longer should your hope be in your ancestors. No longer should your hope be in your past. Jesus says, it's me alone. I am the true vine, and our hope is to be in him and nowhere else. And so as we process that and begin to think about it, you'd have to think that people back then would have wondered, and maybe we should wonder as well, is there anything else that we've been placing our hope in? Is there anything else that we have been counting on to be a source of life for us? Is there anything else that we have been looking to sustain us? Jesus is telling us here, if anything is popping into our minds as we ask ourselves that we need to refocus, and we need to refocus on him because he alone is the source of life. Next in this metaphor, we see God the Father. And here's the deal. You have probably heard, if you've been around church for a little while, this story where Jesus says that he's the vine and we're the branches. And as I remember and recall the times that that's been taught to me, I only think about Jesus being the vine and me being the branches. I know that this is my short attention span here, but I don't recall too many times hearing about God in this story or in this parable, but Jesus is very intentional to say that God is active here. If you look in verse 2, we see that God is the vine dresser, right? He is the one that's responsible for what's going on with both the vine and the branches. We see that God is active. We see God pruning and removing away branches that aren't connected in the first place. We see God going in and pruning back the branches that are bearing fruit as well. And you probably picked up on it by now, but the third element of this story here that Jesus is telling is people, right? And people in this story are the branches. And if you'll notice this, with God being the vine dresser, there is not one branch that is untouched by God. Which tells us there's not one person that will walk on this earth whose life is not touched by God. Right? God is active. God is there in each and every person. Right? And we see in these verses that the branches that don't bear fruit are people that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we see here, the Bible teaches that God removes them from among the vine because they aren't really connected to the vine in the first place. And we're going to see more on this when we get down to verse 6. But those who do know Jesus, that are a part of the vine, that are bearing fruit, you'll see they're not left alone, right? Those branches are still pruned. And it happens, if we look in God's Word, so that the believers that are bearing fruit will continue to bear fruit so that they'll bear more fruit, right? There's a purpose to God's work in our lives. Here's a little science here, and I know that I'm not the most qualified to talk about plants. When I was at A&M, I took one agricultural class, and it was recreational turf management. My advisor said I needed to boost my GPA, and I got an A. So I can mow your yard, but you probably don't want me doing this in your flower bed, right? But here's the deal. Right, the pruning has to happen if a plant's going to be healthy, right? That this tall branch right here, it's a healthy branch. Well, we've got a flower growing on it. It's green. All of the things are good. But if it's left unattended, right, if there's not intentional effort, intentional action going on here, it's not going to be as healthy as it could be or as it should be. Because even this healthy branch has something that's dead on it. Even this healthy branch has a part of it that is shooting out. And what this little part right here is doing, it's not bearing fruit, which is the point of a rose bush, right? There's no flower that's going to come from this, right? It's not producing anything. It doesn't have leaves on it that are bringing in nutrients and helping the rest of it grow. This right here, all it's doing is taking away energy from the main thing. All that it is doing is sucking away the nutrients that the rest of the plant needs to be healthy, that the rest of the plant needs to grow. And so as we read and see that God steps in and prunes, that's what's going on. He takes away the things that aren't good, the things that aren't healthy, the things that are sucking energy and life away from the main thing, and removes them from the life of a believer so that we can continue to do what he's designed us to do. And that's bear more fruit as we abide in him. Listen, God works in us. God works on us to shape us for our good and for his ultimate glory. And this morning, as you think about that concept of pruning, I want to ask you to make it personal for a second. And think about times in your life where God has been at work and where God has pruned things back, where God has removed things. Or maybe even think about your life now and think about what's going on, what's been going on, and what areas might be taking energy or focus or life away from the main things. Think about where maybe you need to say, God, come in and prune just a couple of these things. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a group of friends that are taking our eyes or our focus away from the main thing, that are preventing us from walking with Christ. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's stuff, and we're finding our significance in the things that we've acquired or the things that we're trying to acquire next. Listen, right? When those things begin to happen and they shift our focus in the wrong direction, the Bible says here that God steps in and he prunes us, and this pruning is an ongoing process. It's not a one-time moment in our lives. God loves us. God is active in our lives and constantly removes things that hurt us so that we can be spiritually healthy. Listen, God's going to do whatever it takes. He's going to prune us wherever he needs so that we can be healthy and that we can bear fruit. And as you think about your life, or as you think about 2020, as you think about 2021 so far, it's entirely possible that the difficulty that you're walking through now, or the difficulty that you maybe have been walking through over the course of the past year, is an expression of God's love for you as he prunes things back and shapes you into the person that he's called you to be. Listen, I know that none of us missed it this past year, right? 2020 was a year where all of us were pruned in one way or another, where things were taken away, a season where we walked through trials, and we can look at God's word this morning and process our lives through the lens of the Bible and see that even in the midst of what we were walking through, in the midst of what we're walking through now, God was and God is at work, removing things that take away energy from the main thing, removing things that are sucking the life away from where God intends it to be. And as we think through that, just know that pruning in our lives, it's not always a tragic thing. It's not always an extraordinary event that we can look back on and see and know. Sometimes the pruning in our life happens when we hear the Word of God, right? Taught on a Sunday morning, taught in a life group class, as we read the Word of God daily in our time with Him. Sometimes this pruning happens when a godly friend just steps into our life and speaks truth over us, or speaks truth into us. But we need to know that however God chooses to work, the goal is always the same: for believers to be healthy, for believers to grow, and for believers to bear spiritual fruit, right? We were designed to stay connected so Jesus can flow into us, so that God can work on us. But don't stop there. I want us to keep reading. Look now at verse 4. Jesus still talking here. He says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Listen, we're not only designed to stay connected. Jesus says right here that we are commanded to stay connected. That is his call for us on our life. Jesus knows that he's the source of life. He knows that he is the source of all things good for us. And he says, guys, stay with me, right? Stay connected. Stay in me. He says, abide in me. He says, abide in the vine. Abide in me. Abide in me. Abide and let me abide in you. On and on. Remember, 10 times in 11 verses, he makes it very clear that apart from him, we're not going to grow. Apart from him, we're not going to be healthy. Apart from him, we're not going to bear the fruit that he has called us to make. So the command here is to stay connected. Right, about a year and a half ago, Chelsea and I were on a flight,
and it was a very comfortable flight. It was a very easy flight. It was a flight before we had to wear masks, and things were going great. I'm sitting there, I'm reading a book, and I'm enjoying it, thinking about the vacation that we're going to go on. And as I'm sitting there, all of a sudden, the peace was interrupted, and I heard a loud cartoon playing all of a sudden on the airplane, and I was like, where is this coming from? It's not in my book. What's going on? And I look over, and there's this kid across the aisle that's sitting there, and he's got one of those iPad things, and he's watching a cartoon. He's got his headphones on, but it's not playing through the headphones. It's playing through the speaker on the iPad, and everybody on the plane can hear this. And I look over, like, what's going on? And the people in front of him and behind him are looking over, like, what's going on? And he's disturbing everybody with this cartoon that's on. And so I reached across the aisle, and I grabbed his, he's got these big headphones on. I grabbed it, and I popped it, and let it hit him in the ear there, and I didn't mention it was my kid that did this. I popped him on the ear, and he looked like, what are you doing? And I said, you're not plugged in. And he looked at me like, what are you talking about? And I said, you're not connected to what you really think you're connected to right now. And again, it was lost on him. And so I reached over, and I got the cord, and I plugged it in, and his eyes got huge. And he's like, everything's changed. And he looked at me and said, Dad, there's words with this. And I was like, I know there's words with this. Everybody on the plane knows that there's words with that. We're all glad now that you can hear these words because it means that we can't anymore. And the whole point is this, is he wasn't connected to what he meant to be connected to. He wasn't connected to the source, and he was living this out at a fraction of the experience, right? He was missing so incredibly much because he didn't stay connected. And by simply plugging in, by simply being there, right, everything changed for him. Jesus is telling us that. He's not saying just be around. He's not saying, hey, just peek in and see what's going on. Jesus is saying stay connected. He's saying allow my life, my very life, to flow in and to you, to bring you life as well. And listen, we'll get to verse 6 here. You notice in verse 6 that the branches that are not connected, that are not abiding in the vine, that they're gathered up. And eventually they're discarded. And as we read that, it probably gives us a little bit of pause. It probably makes us wonder, what exactly is Jesus saying there, and how do I make sure that I'm not one of those branches that's removed and tossed away, right? Some might think, does it mean that it's possible for someone who's a Christian? Is it possible for someone that's a follower of Jesus to all of a sudden be cut away from their relationship with Jesus and tossed around? And the answer is absolutely not, right? What we see in verse 6 is not referring to Christians. What we see in verse 6 is a reference to people that were never connected in the first place. What we're seeing in verse 6 is a reference to people that might have been around the vine, around the plant, but were never truly connected. And what happens is they're removed and they're tossed away because they were never there in the first place. And we can see examples of that, right? When we read God's word, when we read in the book of John, we see example after example of that happening. And here's one of them, right? There were a lot of people that saw the miracles of Jesus and they drew close to him because of that. They heard, there's this guy that can change water into wine. I want to know him. They heard, there's this guy that can feed 5,000 people with one little kid's lunch. I got to see this. They heard, man, he raised his friend from the dead. He brought sight back to the blind. I want to be around this guy. And so all of these people began to follow Jesus. They began to get around him. They were in his presence or in his proximity. And then as they drew close, the Bible says that Jesus started to teach. He started to teach them who he was. He started to teach them about who God is and how they could have a relationship with God by surrendering their life to him as Lord and Savior. And the people that just sort of drew around and were around him listening to that, a lot of them said, you know what? That's not for me. A lot of them said, I'm not going to follow his teaching. And the Bible says they turned and they left and they walked away. That's an example of what we see in verse 6 of a branch that is removed, a branch that was never truly connected to the vine. But we need to be encouraged that the opposite is also true, that Jesus tells us that those who truly know him, that those who have entered into a relationship with him by grace through faith will never be pulled away from their walk with him. It's very clear in John 6, verses 37 and 39. If you want to make a note of that, my John 15 in your Bible, you can go check that out. But Jesus says, everyone that God brings to me and connects to me will never be plucked or pulled away. Right? But verse 6, seeing how some will because they were never truly connected, should, as we read it, if we think about it, if we're truly seeking to understand God's word here, it should lead us to an honest evaluation of our lives. It should make us ask the question, okay, do I really know Jesus? Am I really connected to the vine? Is there clear evidence of God at work inside of me? Is there clear evidence of an ongoing relationship with Jesus? I heard a quote this week, and I love that it was this. It's, God does not hide inside his children. So if he's there, people are going to know. And if he's there, your family's going to know. If he's there, your friends are going to know. If he's there, your coworkers are going to know, because he is going to bear fruit in your life. And if an honest evaluation of your life would lead you to a place where you said, hey, you know what? That's me. Right? I have been around the vine. I have blended in with the vine. My friends are all connected to the vine. But I don't know if there's ever been a moment in my life where I have accepted the teachings of Jesus, where I have said, you know what, beyond the shadow of a doubt, he now is Lord of my life, and I'm going to walk with him. If you would analyze your life and say, you know what, I'm not sure that I'm in, then your application this morning starts with simply connecting to the source of life. By surrendering your life to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I don't understand it all yet, but I know that I need you and I am in. And for those of us that do know Jesus, that are connected to the vine, that are walking with him, the command here is simple. It's stay close to him. He says the areas where you're prone to drift, don't. The things in this world that might distract you from following hard after me, tune them out and follow hard after me. The sins that are knocking at the door saying, hey, come over here, Jesus is saying, tune that out. Stay connected to me. Live with me. Walk in me. Because I want you to look and see what happens when we now stay connected. We see in verses 4 through 9, three things that are promises of God that are going to happen in our life as we stay connected to the vine. And the first is this. When we stay connected, we grow spiritually. Right? God works in our lives. And if you think about it, the longer that we're connected, the more that we're connected, the more that we're going to grow, right? You see it on your trees at home, on the bushes that are in your yard, right? The longer the branch has been coming off the side of a tree, the thicker it is, the bigger it is, the stronger it is, because every waking moment that branch is connected to the trunk of the tree, that there's sap flowing through it, there's nutrients that are being pumped in it, and it's growing moment by moment, day by day, step by step. And for Christians, the same thing is true. As we stay connected to the vine, moment by moment, God is working in us. God is doing something in us, and we are growing stronger and more mature spiritually. We need to understand that connection means growth. If we're connected, we're going to grow, and it's true in any relationship. I know that you've experienced that. Connection in a relationship leads to growth with your spouse, with your kids, with your friends. When you intentionally connect, the relationship is going to grow. The relationship is going to strengthen. And I didn't say be around. I didn't say proximity. I said connect. When there's intentional connection in a relationship, there's growth. The opposite's true too. When there's no connection in a relationship, what happens to it? In a relationship, slowly shrivels up, until you become unfamiliar and unrecognizable to one another. Listen, connection leads to growth, but it also leads to fruit, right? That's the second thing that happens when we stay connected. We bear fruit. Look at verses 4 and 5. Whoever abides in me and I am him, that's the one that bears much fruit, right? If we stay connected, there's going to be fruit in our lives. And we have to be thinking, what does that mean exactly? We know that a rose bush is going to produce roses. What am I going to produce as I stay connected? What does that fruit look like? And fruit can be defined like this. It's anything in your life or my life that flows from our relationship with Jesus that advances the kingdom of God or that brings him glory. It can be our attitude, the way that we see things, the way that we respond to things, the way that we think about things. That is evidence of the fruit of God working in our life. When we walk through difficult seasons with an eternal perspective, that's the fruit of God at work in our hearts and lives. It can be evidence in our actions, right? There's going to be fruit that results in actions. We're going to love people well. We're going to sacrifice for people. We're going to take care of people. We're going to serve people. Listen, Galatians chapter 5 gives us the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And all of these things are just going to happen right? They're just going to happen in our lives as we stay connected. I promise you that there's not one branch on this plant that is thinking really hard right now, I'm going to grow a flower. I'm going to grow a flower, right? It just happens because it's a rose bush, and that's what they do, right? They just grow flowers, and the same is true for us. Listen, as believers, we don't need to walk around wondering, how can I bear some fruit? Right? How can I do something to now bear fruit in my life? Right? That's the wrong question. Jesus is saying here, listen, abide in me, and I'm going to make sure that you produce fruit. I'm going to make sure that you grow. I'm going to make sure that you're healthy. Listen, this producing fruit that we see here is much more about being than it is doing. It's about being connected to him, and God is going to be at work. It's just going to be our nature. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't suffer periods of drought in our life. That doesn't mean that we won't suffer barren years in our life. But someone that's connected to the vine over the course of their life, we can look and we can examine and we can expect and we can see and we can glorify God because there's evidence of Jesus at work in them as well. And listen, when we do what Jesus said, when we stay connected and abide, we're going to grow. That's one. We're going to bear fruit. That's two. And then three, and finally, we're going to glorify God. If you look at verse 8, he says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Now I don't know about you, but as I read this text, John 15, as I think about abiding in Christ, as I think about staying connected to the vine and begin to understand it, here's some things that I know. I know that Jesus is the only true source of life for me. I just know that. And I know that God's word teaches me here that if I stay connected to him, I'm going to grow. I know that I'm going to bear fruit. I know that I'm going to bring glory to God. And so as I read that and think, okay, all of this happens as I stay connected, I think I'm in. But that sounds great to me. I want that. I desire that. So I'm going to be in and stay connected. And I hope that you're tracking and thinking that way too. But if that's not enough, and trust me, I think it is. If it's not enough, if you need more, if you want more, keep reading. Right? And in verse 11, Jesus wraps up this section with the reason why he wants us to stay connected. Right? We've got the what, right? We've got to stay connected. And now he gives us the why in verse 11. Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you. He says, I've told you to abide many, many times, 10 times in 11 verses. I've told you to abide, look at this, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. We need to understand that staying connected to the source of life brings joy. All of this, right? All of that Jesus is teaching here, it's about your joy. It's about your happiness. It's about your contentment, your joy in life, right? We see here the connection to Jesus. It means a joy-filled life, right? All of this, all because his joy is in us. So now as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, man, that there is nothing more that I want than to abide in Jesus, than to stay connected to him, to allow his life to fill me up, to allow his joy to fill me up. And I hope that you feel the same. I hope that you're thinking, okay, these are the things that are going to happen in my life. And ultimately, as I do these things, as I live this way, it's going to result in my joy. It sounds good. Tell me how. How do I stay connected to the vine? And the incredible thing about Jesus is that he gives us all of this incredible stuff. He tells us all of these things that are going to happen. He tells us that we're going to be full of joy, and he doesn't make us guess on how to get there. He tells us exactly how to live in order for these things to be true in our life. Look at verse 10. Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. How can you stay connected? Obey. Jesus says, listen, just do what I said, and you'll stay connected to me, and all of these things are going to be true in your life. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24 says, whoever keeps Jesus' commands abides in God, and God in him. So if you want to bear fruit, right, if you want to grow, if you want to glorify God, if you want to live a life of purpose that is beyond joy, and who doesn't, right, Jesus simply says, just obey me. Right, just do what I've said. And Jesus said a lot of things during his time on earth. So here's how I process that, and I hope that you will as well. If I'm going to obey Jesus, there's a couple of key things that I'm going to do, and they're very simple things straight from the mouth of Jesus. The first thing I'm going to do if I want to stay connected to the source of life by obeying Jesus is I'm going to love God. Jesus says in Matthew 22, the most important thing, the most important command that you can lean into and do is to love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So if you want to stay connected, just cultivate a love for God, right? Spend time with him. The second thing that we see is we're going to love people, right? Jesus says that's number two. In Matthew 22, when he's asked what's number one, he said love God. When he's asked what's number two, he says love people. A love for people in our lives is evidence of God at work in us, and it keeps us connected to the ultimate source of life, to Jesus. And then the last thing that I process as I read this, and I hope you will as well, the last thing that I do is I looked at the early church, right? These early believers that probably heard Jesus teach in person. These early believers that walked with the disciples, that walked with the apostles, these first ones that truly latched into the source of life during Jesus' time on earth, I look at them in Acts chapter 2, and they give us a biblical model of what it looks like to obey Jesus. And then they devoted, they placed a high importance in their lives on three things, and I hope that you will as well. The first is they read the Bible, right? They were committed to the apostles' teaching, to the Word of God. They were committed to it. They were in it. They read it. Our church is in it right now. We're encouraging you to join us reading through the Essential 100 Bible Reading Plan. It's on bookmarks as you leave, going out the door. Go to championforest.org/devotionals. I read it on my phone this morning because it was emailed to me early this morning, right? Jump in and read God's Word with us. The second thing that early church did to show us they were staying connected was they prayed. Right? They prayed constantly. And as they prayed, the source of life, Jesus, flowed back and forth in their lives. And I want you to think about prayer for a minute, right? This flower up here that has grown so well, it doesn't tell the vine and the rest of the plant, hey, you know what? At dinner time and at bedtime, send me some good stuff. Right? Twice a day, send me a couple of things. There's this ongoing relationship back and forth where the nutrients are flowing to it constantly. That's how we need to think about prayer. Right? It's not a one-shot thing. It's not a one moment throughout the day. It's this ongoing relationship, this ongoing conversation where God gives us everything that we need to stay connected and to walk through life. And then the third thing that we see from that early church that they did to help them stay connected to God the Father was this. They stayed connected to one another. The Bible says that the early believers were devoted to each other, to the fellowship, to the body of Christ. You don't see one healthy plant that just has one branch. There's lots of branches. They support each other. They lift one another up. The nutrients in the life that they bring in, that they funnel over to other parts of the branch as well. And the same thing happens in a church family. Listen, I'll just say that none of us were designed to stay connected to Jesus in isolation. None of us were designed to stay connected to Jesus all on our own. You just can't do it, right? You need other people in your life that love Jesus, that are connected to him, that are encouraging you to do it as well. And the model that we have for that at Champion Forest is life groups. Right? If you're not in a life group, man, I'm encouraging you, when we walk out of here now, go to that booth you saw in the middle of the atrium today and say, hey, I want to stay connected by being around other people that are connected as well. There's a quote that I heard years ago, and I have seen it to be true over and over and over again as I've talked with students, as I've talked with their parents, as I've talked with grandparents. This is a true thing in life, and it's this: show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And it's true because we end up like the people we spend our time with. So if you want to stay connected to the vine, connect to other people that are also connecting to Jesus, and they will push you and encourage you to walk in your love relationship with him. Listen, John 15, we see that so much happens if we'll commit to staying connected to Jesus. We're going to grow spiritually. We're going to bear fruit. We're going to glorify God, and all of those are good things if we stay connected, but the end result of all of it is joy, right? God being at work in our lives is going to lead to joy, and that sounds really, really good to me. Would you pray with me? And we're going to take a second just to think about this connection that we can have in Jesus. Are we connected to the vine? What does that look like? And I want to ask you three or four specific questions and just allow God to speak to your heart in this moment. In just a second, we're going to stand and worship. But before we do, just think for a second. Are you truly connected to the vine? Or do you have a relationship with Jesus? Has there been that moment in your life where you have trusted in Him, where you have made Him your Lord, where you have made Him your Savior? And this morning, if you would say, you know what, that's not me. I have been around Jesus. I have friends that know Jesus. I have been a part of a church, but I've never truly placed my faith and trust in Him. If that's you, in just a minute, we're going to stand and sing. I want to encourage you. Just come down here to the front. We're going to have pastors here in just a minute. And tell someone, I'm ready to get connected. And they'll know exactly what you mean. And they'll take a moment to pray with you to show you exactly what that looks like. Listen, another question that we can ask this morning is this, is are you staying connected to the vine? Or are there things going on in your life that are trying to pull you away? Are there things going on in your life that you know God needs to step in and prune out so that you can grow and be all that God has called you to be, so that you can live in the joy that comes with knowing Jesus? If you'd say this morning there's things that need to be pruned away, I'd encourage you to take a moment where you're seated and pray. Ask God to begin to do work in your heart or life, or come forward in just a minute and pray with one of our pastors or prayer partners. There's something powerful about praying with another person. However God's working in your heart, right? In just a minute, we're going to stand and sing, and that'll be your opportunity to sit where you're at, to stand and sing and worship, to come forward and pray with one of our pastors. Whatever's going on, if you've got things going on in your life, if you've had a week, and if you've got something coming up this week you want someone to pray over you with, in just a minute, that's going to be open. We want you to come and to pray and allow God to be at work. Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and God, we thank you for loving us. God, we thank you that you've given us this invitation to walk closely with you, to stay connected with you, ultimately all for our joy. And so, God, I pray that we would live lives of joy as we connect to you. God, I pray for every person in this room right now. God, however you're working in our hearts, God, I pray that we would respond to you and walk out of here, God, not just hearing about the connection that's possible in you, God, but each and every one of us being willing to take that next step to grow in our love relationship with you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Do you stand with us now as we worship? And like I said, we don't do this often. This is a different thing. We're going to have pastors down front. If you'd love to pray with someone about anything that's going on in your life, we'd ask you to join us now.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.